Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Leonard, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Miss Sabrina Victoria.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so just so people know you, I'm just going to read a short bio. From a struggling single mom to escaping a 13-year narcissistic abusive relationship, Sabrina's tenacity and optimistic spirit has inspired fans worldwide and helped endless amounts of people break through and discover their own untapped talents and immense potential. Now, creator and CEO of Her Nation and the host of Her Talk Show, Sabrina is dedicated to giving people the tools they need to rise and human better. A speaker, entrepreneur, and author. Well, I am so excited to hear your story. So tell us about you and how this all started.
Yeah, so just as the intro kind of stated, a single mom. So I was raised as a Jehovah's Witness. I don't know if you know what that is. Do you know what a Jehovah's Witness is?
Well, why don't you tell us?
It's a religion, a very strict religion. And one of the rules that they have is when you sin, a gross sin, I guess, you get what's called disfellowship, which means they cast you out and they leave you. They just kind of drop you like a hot potato. So I ended up pregnant at the age of 20 and I wasn't married. So that is a sin. And so within 72 hours of announcing my pregnancy, I lost all communication with my mom, my dad, brother, sister, and my entire community, everyone I had ever known my entire life. And so I was all by myself. And I led this stereotypical single mom, just broke life of literally no money, 25 cents, digging in my couch cushions for 25 cents to put gas in my car because I'm negative $172 in my bank account. My car getting repoed, eviction notices on my apartment door every other month. And just dreadful, dark, feeling unworthy, feeling lonely, suicidal thoughts, postpartum, all the things, crying all the time. And about a year and a half into that journey, I met a man. That man had money. So I thought he was given to me by God because I had been praying for financial support. So, because I thought he was given to me by God, I ignored all of the red flags. And there was a lot of red flags. But I ignored all of them. I was just so desperate for attention, so desperate for affection. And I fell for all the tricks within a very short amount of time. He had me move in with him as a gift. I couldn't afford rent anyways. He had me quit my job and start working for him as a gift because my job sucked anyways. He was barely paying me anything. He was paying me about $250 a week, working 14 to 16 hours a day at his company. And still broke, still couldn't afford my phone, still couldn't afford my car. I'm still paying for daycare and food and groceries and toiletries. I'm still paying for everything, insurance, and still not enough money. So instead of paying me more money, he just took over things. So couldn't pay my phone bill. He's like, "Don't worry about it. Close yours down. Go under mine." Couldn't pay my car. "Don't worry about it. Let's get rid of that. Let's go with mine." And so within a very short amount of time, I owned nothing and had nothing. My son and my clothes is basically within a few years. And so the more control he got, the worse the abuse got. And one day I'm on the floor in the bathroom in the dark, fetal position. And I'm having a total mental breakdown, like the kind where you're crying and screaming at the same time, like death is coming out of you. And I did a Google search. I always say that Google saved my life. I Googled, "Why is my boyfriend bullying me?" while in the fetal position on the floor, this bright light in my eyes. And within about 90 seconds of scrolling, Google told me that I was in a narcissistic relationship, that I had high empathetic vibes, that I was extremely codependent, that I had no voice, that I, was incompetent when it came to money. And so I had a decision to make at that point. I had to either keep going as it was or pivot into this new learning that I was finding out. And I pivoted. I opened up a secret bank account. I started three online secret businesses, one of which I still own today, and saved $50,000 and literally escaped one day. I took my son, our clothes, and my bicycle, and I started all over again with a mattress on the floor. I've been building businesses ever since. And one of the biggest missions that I have in my life is to build community. The thing that I lost when I needed it the most is very, very close to my heart.
I love that. I mean, I'm just getting chills thinking about that because so many of us are walking around, alone. And, we go to work or we're going into the world and people don't know what's happening inside that person. Even people who appear to be successful, maybe career-wise or whatever. There is so much loneliness in the world, and people need a place that's safe, that's open, that's accepting, where they can come and they can create friendships, create relationships. So that is just beautiful that out of that pain, you created something really beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, it wasn't all that easy. I always joke that I can tell my whole story in under 5 minutes, but obviously it wasn't smooth sailing. There was a lot of ups, a lot of downs, a lot of breakdowns during that time. The moral is that I kept getting up. That's the moral. And even still today, right? Just because that situation's behind me doesn't mean that, oh, all of a sudden there's no problems. There's still stuff, every month or something, just like anybody else.
So let's go back to the beginning for a second. If you could tell something to your younger self, that when you were basically banished from your family, your church, your community, what would you tell her now?
What would I tell my 22-year-old self? I would tell my 22-year-old self, I would tell her, this is tough for me because exactly what I would tell her is exactly what she did. I've done a lot of work in the field of inner child work, and I believe that we have every year that we've ever been inside of us. I believe I have a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old and 17-year-old and a 22-year-old and a 39-year-old inside of me. And I believe that every year that Sabrina did the best she could with what she knew, because that's all she could do. And there were some Sabrinas that led a year of life that was really, really hard, like really hard. And she was wanting to run away. She was wanting to commit suicide. She was wanting to leave everything behind, just run away. She was wanting to die. She was getting raped. She was getting abused. She was getting verbal lashing daily. And I sit back now and I think to myself, I don't know if I could have done that. And I'm so grateful that she did. You know, each one of them knew that there was something greater. Each one of them felt a light. Each one of them had a gut feeling. And I like remember discussing that. I remember thinking that, like, there's something more. You just have to keep going. And that's what she did. She got up every single day. She was motivated every single day. She was optimistic every single day. She did the things that she needed to do every single day. She maybe broke every once in a while, but she freaking got back up again. And I'm so grateful to them. And I now lead my life as a testament and almost like an obligation. Like, I have an obligation to show up at 120% every single day in order to say thank you to every single one of them. And even the way I lead my life today, I lead my life knowing that I am running the race for 1 year and I have to hand the baton off to the very next Sabrina. And I want to make sure that I set her up in a way that she can continue running in order to succeed in the vision that she has for herself 10 years from now, 20 years from now. So, what would I say? Dude, she did great. I don't have anything to say to her. She did great.
And that's what you do with every woman that comes to your community. And that's amazing to have that kind of support.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Beautiful. So, and if someone is in a situation where they're with a someone who's abusive, what advice would you give them? How do you set your mind so you can actually get yourself out of that situation? Do you have to get to the point where you break down to leave? Or is there hope for people who see they're in it and want to get out, but they need a safe way to get out, or they need the really courage to get out?
You know, one of the things that I have learned, I wasn't always like this, but I have learned, is all of our stories are different. And everybody's in a different healing point in their life. Some people are just starting out, and some people are pretty far along, like myself, and a thousand things in between. And as much as now looking back, I like to think it's all the same. It's all the same. In a person's mind, it's freaking not the same. It's just not. And, you know, I am far enough away from it now where I can see the correlations, I can see the sameness, but it's hard. It is not easy. There is a ton of brainwashing that happens and a lot of self-doubt that happens. How did I do it? I had to be smarter than myself. And what I mean by that is, this is the cycle that I was in. I believe in my leading my life in that relationship. Every day, something super dramatic would happen. That was not dramatic, but it would be turned into something dramatic. And it would escalate to the point of me crying, screaming, anger, frustration, whatever it was, anything to like break me, basically. And it would always change on how I dealt with it. And then in that moment, in the break, I would think to myself, that's it. I'm out of here. This sucks. This is horrible. I don't deserve to be treated this way. That would be a fleeting thought. And the reason it was fleeting was because I had no money. I had nowhere to go. He controlled my job, controlled my house, he controlled my car, he controlled my phone. Like, if I just left right now, I literally have nothing. Like, most people, if they leave, they can take a car, they have a phone, they have mom and dad, they have, I had nothing. Zero. And it, if I left, I didn't have a job the next day. Like, you can't do that. So what I had to do is, instead of being like, that's it, I had to stop saying that's it. And I had to start preparing for a potential exit. So I never ever set myself up thinking to myself, I will leave. I set myself up so if I decided to leave, I could. And I think that's the difference, because there's so much fear in leaving, because they have you so brainwashed to, like, you can't do it without them. Like, he used to say to me all the time, if you ever left, I'd find you in the back of a dumpster, behind the dumpster, living in a cardboard box. I believed that. I believed I was incapable of living a life without him. That is how much he had integrated his verbal lashings towards me, of like how dumb and stupid and ignorant I was as a woman. And so I had to start creating a plan. This is what I talk about. It's like, you've got to get organized. You have to create some sort of a plan, and it's going to look different for everybody. Some people are actually physically being abused. I mean, in that case, you got to be quick. You have to start making phone calls. You have to get people on your team to help you. That's a necessity. A friend, a shelter. Also, there's all kind. There's Google now. There wasn't a whole lot of that when I was going through this. Like, Google was kind of like, you could Google that. Now we know you can Google anything. My situation, I was never being physically hit ever. So I had time. So everybody's different, right? Everyone's going to be different. How many kids do you have? Do you have kids? So assessing your situation with that, and then creating some sort of a game plan. So I knew that I needed a vehicle. I had to start saving for that. I knew I needed a phone. I knew I needed a computer. I knew I needed a job, right? So I had to, while I was living him, start creating a plan to get the things so that when I left, I could immediately get them and there was no hiccup in between. So my story, I tell my story like, oh, I collected money and then I just left. I actually already had a place 2 to 3 months before I left. I was so scared to leave that I actually had a place fully paid for. For months, I was showering there. I had my stuff there, and I was still sleeping at my ex's house. He had no idea. That is how prepared I was. So that when I decided to leave, I literally could go from one house to the other house without skipping a beat. You don't have to be that prepared. That's just what I decided to do. And it worked out perfectly. When I left, I handed in my computer. I already had mine. I handed in my phone. I already had mine. Handed in my car keys. Already had mine. And it was a beautiful transition, and it made it easy for me to do it, which is what I needed, because I kept going back. I didn't just leave one time. I left dozens of times, and I would always end up back because I had nothing. So I had to go back with my tail between my legs. I was sleeping on someone's couch. I'd leave for a few hours and realize, like, I don't have a job.
Yeah, and you had your son.
That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. But I've heard stories where women just have it, they've had it, and they move in with mom and dad with their three kids. That's an option. So you don't have so you sometimes you don't have to take years. You know, I took almost 4 years to do my plan. Some people decide they save up a little bit of money and they literally just move in with mom and dad and get a job at the corner store. You can do that too.
So, and then, after all this verbal abuse of telling you you can't do anything, you're stupid, whatever, you built three businesses online. So again, the mindset, the planning, the how did you even do that? Did you do that once you've got your own place so you could actually, I mean, he couldn't know that you even had your own computer, right?
So again, I tell my story in 5 minutes, but it wasn't that easy. So when I first started making money, within the first year, I collected $6,000. I had never had that much money ever, right? Because I was in my early 20s when I met him, and I was dead broke. And I stayed broke while I was with him. So I had made $6,000. One day, I'm sitting at the kitchen table and I have his computer open up to my bank account, my secret bank account. And I'm looking at my money and I'm just like, I feel like a millionaire. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so rich. Look at how rich I am. And there was a part of me, the ego, that wanted to show off, wanted to prove, wanted to be like, yes, look it, I am capable. I can do things. I am competent. Look at what I've done. I've saved six. Meanwhile, his company was making millions. I blew up his company. When I met him, he was probably hovering around 200,000. When I left him, he was making over 1 million. We had five houses paid in full, 12 cars paid in full, zero debt when I left him. I mean, my work ethic, my organization, my abilities grew us exponentially while I was with him. But I get no credit for that. So this was mine. So anyways, he's coming up behind me. I could hear him up the stairs and I'm like this, like to close it. And I knew I couldn't show it to him because this is a secret, but I wanted to show it to him. Long story short, I closed the computer like 2 seconds too slow. And he saw the money. He went into a full rage, took the computer, flung it across the room. It didn't break, screaming at me, "You're unloyal. You're ungrateful. How dare you? Thief." All the things. He thought I was skimming $50 off the 250 he was giving me a week. I don't know what he thought somehow. Like, I guess he thought I had been skimming because he didn't know that I was doing this. Meanwhile, there was no way to skim that. I was literally in debt all the time living with him. My credit score was like 500, like halfway through our relationship, because I was just using my credit card so much because he was paying me nothing. So but eventually he took over my car, he took over my phone. So then that, allowed me to be able to actually just live paycheck to paycheck. It was interesting during that point because up until that point, I was like, maybe he's not keeping me broke on purpose, right? I always wanted to like give him the benefit of the doubt. Like there was thoughts like, he's keeping me broke on purpose. But then I'm like, nah, he wouldn't do that. He loves me. Anytime I ask him for money, he will give me money. Like if not like that, anytime I wanted something, he would get it for me. So like if I wanted a massage, he would get me a massage. If I wanted my hair cut and dyed and colored, he would do that for me. He would never give me a raise or more money in my payment, but he would take care of things for me. So that's love, right? He's taking care of his woman. But at that moment, when that happened, seeing the rage and all of the vomit that was coming out of his mouth, I was like, oh my gosh, he is literally keeping me broke on purpose. He took away my money for 6 months. He stopped paying me. I had to continue working my normal shifts, 14 to 16 hour days at the office, taking care of his company, his business, my same role I was doing. He paid me $0 for 6 months straight. He was trying to keep me broke. So that obviously dwindled down. My money eventually dwindled. I was still making my money, but now I'm a different mindset, right? So like there's all that, that's not the first time. There's another time when I lose my money too. I lose $15,000 later on in my story. But this is the thing. It's like you have to stay focused. Like it's not good, it's not all peaches and cream. It's really traumatic. I was bawling. I was crying for weeks after that. I felt devastated. I felt like the universe is against me. I am trapped in this forever. There's no way I'm ever going to be able to. And I had to continue to make decisions like, am I going to just fall into this story or am I going to do it again? You know, and then it happened again where I lost my money in another situation with his father, my son's father, who's freaking came in to swipe to mess me up again. It's like there's stuff that happens where it's gonna break you, it's gonna ruin your plan, it's going to, and this is with anything. This isn't just with shitty relationships. This is with work. This is with career. This is with children. This is with our health. It's like there's stuff that's going to come in. It's going to pull the rug from under you and mess up your whole plan. And then you have to decide if you're going to stay in the funk, how long, or are you going to pivot, turn, refocus, recalibrate, and keep going again? And that is where I have so much gratitude and love and admiration for the Sabrinas that got me here. Because, dude, I mean, I remember just like, what the hell is going on? When am I gonna catch a break? You know, they tell you to wake up, be optimistic, do all the things, make a plan, stay organized, stay focused. I'm doing all of the things that all of the books and all of the podcasts are telling me to do, and it's not mother effing working. There's something wrong with me. The universe hates me. And this is where the story that you were asking, it's like, what do? It's like, you can't tell that person when they're in that state. Just keep going. It's like it seems so impossible. It's like, screw you. You don't get it. My situation is different than your situation. My situation is harder than your situation. Anybody that would have come to me and been like, oh, get up again, I would have been like, screw you. You have no idea how freaking hard this is to be a trophy wife, to be a mom, to be healthy, to run a company and a side business and make all of these plans. This is hard. Wow. I'm being lashed at every single day, telling me I'm dumb, stupid, idiot, uneducated, ghetto, broke. Like it's already hard enough to do that stuff in life. I am doing it while someone is telling me that I'm incompetent. That's hard. But you yourself, you have to make a decision. Consciously have to make a decision again, 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 like in a fight. Get up again, get up again, get up again.
Exactly. It is like a fight. So let's just talk about time management. You were working 14 hours a day. And
Yeah.
then somewhere in there, you were starting your own business, taking care of your son.
Yeah.
Any words on how do we organize our life when it seems like we have not even one more second left to do something and we have something else we need to do? I mean, it's crucial.
Yeah, so a couple things to that. I just had this conversation with a girlfriend of mine. literally 2 weeks ago, we were talking about sleep, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good on like 4 hours of sleep. She's like, what? I'm like, yeah, that's not normal. I didn't used to be like that, but trauma. I did it for so many years that, like, because even after I left, I was still working just as hard because I was so scared to go back. I'm working all these businesses after I left, that I'm still on 4 hours of sleep. So my body's just like good with that. Oh, I had something really important to say.
You were talking about the conversation with your girlfriend.
Yeah, that was the 4 hour. I should have. And in my head, I was like, I should say this other thing first because it's way more important than this thing. But I wanted to lighten the mood. It was about the sleep. I don't remember what it was. What was the question again? How did I do it?
How did you do it? Like when there was so
Time.
much to do and you need, all of them
I
were
got it.
important.
Okay, I got it. So this is what I did specifically to this situation. I became, so there was a time right up to this point where I learned about personal development, my Google search, right? Up until that point, I was starting to rebel. So I was just hating my life so much. I was starting to get to the point where I was just yelling back at him, which was not a thing in our previous relationship. Like I was always very submissive, very quiet, very small, very dark. But I was getting to the point where I was just so fed up that I was like screaming back at him. I was swearing at him. I was calling him all sorts of names. Probably for about a year. And his verbal abuse got even worse because they have to be alpha. So it was so toxic for about a year before this pivot. But what I did is when I figured this out and I started to create a plan, I started to think, how can I get more time? I needed time. So I did the opposite of what you would think you would do. I actually played into the game so good. I learned all about narcissism and what they need and how they feed. So compliments galore. He's the best. He's the sexiest. He's the most awesomeness. So compliments, like extraordinary compliments. Then on top of it, whenever there would be arguments, I would make sure that I always broke. I was at a point in our relationship where I like wasn't really breaking that much. Like I didn't care. Like it would take him a really long time to break me, if ever, because I was just so cold. Once I found out that they feed off the break, I would be an actress and I would break on purpose. So I'd fall into these very similar to when I did the Google search where I actually did break. I would fall into those like weekly, all dramatic like. And in my head, I'm like, oh my God, this is such a waste of my time. But what it was doing is it was setting him up for like knowing that he felt secure in the relationship. I was showing up 100% at work, which I wasn't before. I was just so over it. I was giving him compliments at work. Like he'd come into the office and I'd be like, "You're doing rock star of the day," like over the top. And he loved it. He loved it so much. And I just went all in. I went all in on the relationship. I went all in on his ego and what he needed to like feel good and confident about the relationship. And it did. It relinquished the leash. And he would be gone from the office for way longer periods of time. I could leave early. He would let me use the car for like, I could just go and be gone. not for long periods of time, but like enough to move stuff out of the house, for instance, right? So he's at the office maybe, or maybe out golfing, and he'd be checking up on me every hour, calling, calling. Now all of a sudden, 2 hours go by without me calling, or I would call him. I'd be like, hey. And then that would elicit me knowing that I had more time because I schmoozed him so much to be able to get some of my stuff done. So I played the game. I played the game. I learned how to play it. I flipped the switch on him, and it worked to my benefit. Whether that would work on everybody, I have no idea, but it worked for our situation.
Wow, I think that's great advice for anyone that's in that situation, because I've learned about that narcissistic personality also, and that's exactly what they want. They want
Yeah.
to be seen as the best, and they can't handle anything negative towards them. As negative as they are towards other people, they can't be have any negative coming towards them.
Exactly. Yeah. One of the biggest things that I see is individuals telling the narcissist that they are a narcissist. That's like the worst thing you can do. I never ever said the word narcissist. I never talked about empathy. I never talked about codependency. I never talked about anything that I was learning ever. I just stayed the same. It was the same. I kept all that to myself. I kept all the learnings to myself. And I think that was part of the success too. It wasn't until after I left that I started, really kind of showcasing my story. And he did come at me, not legally or anything, but he did kind of like, what is this? His mom called me. What are you talking about? And that's when it really kind of blew up after I left. But I played the game while I was in it, and I never led him on to believe that it was anything other than authentic. And that was hard for me, by the way,
Well,
because you're lying. You're being fake. It was very hard. And I think that's part of the issue that a lot of people have is we don't want to be unloyal, but they're being unloyal. They're being deceitful. They're being liars. By telling you that you're awful and dumb and stupid, that's a lie. They're lying. So it's like, why are they allowed to do it and we're not allowed to do it?
And I think part of it's just protection too. I mean, if during the World War, if you were hiding a Jewish person and the soldiers came to the door, are you going to say, well, yeah, I actually do have some of these people hiding them? That is just normal survival
Exactly.
safety things. You wouldn't tell the soldier that there's people there that they're going to take away, just
Yeah.
in the same
Good
thing.
point.
You can't. You can't, you have to say whatever you need to say to protect yourself, to actually, protect your life, because some of these people, yours was just he was just verbal, but some of these people are physical,
Bad.
and women are in danger. And if they didn't do something to protect themselves, I don't agree with lying, but there's a point where it's safety and survival.
Exactly. Exactly.
So let's talk about what you're doing now. So you're teaching women entrepreneurship. You have your organization, your community. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, 100%. So, the community that I run is called Her Nation. It's for female entrepreneurs predominantly, and it's got two sides to it. So the front end is the media. We do podcasting panels, events. We're launching our digital magazine at the end of March. Places where women can be heard, be seen, be showcased as an authority in the area of their expertise. And then on the back end is the support. So we run masterminds, networking, business growth workshops in order to support female entrepreneurs on their journey of entrepreneurship. So one of the things that I learned the hard way, which so many of us also do, is, we're told, no, you have a passion, you have something that you're good at, drop the 9 to 5 and just open up a website. And then all of a sudden, you'll be making 10,000 a month like that. And so we do it. You know, we're like, oh, I'm going to follow my passion. And I opened up a beautiful website when I left my ex that was like showcased all of my stuff and crickets, no money. Nobody was giving me anything. And so through my journey, really realizing that it's multifaceted. I mean, there's so much that you need. And really creating an atmosphere, a community of individuals who can help you through that journey, right? When we're doing hard things, we need a community to help support us. You cannot do it by yourself. It's way harder, it's way longer, it is not necessary. And so I talk about community all of the time. It's one of the things that I needed during one of the hardest times in my life, and I did not have it. And so I think that it is the most important part of my business is my community, is knowing that there's other women in my circle doing the same thing that I'm doing. It's being able to ask questions when I don't know the answer. It's being able to get feedback on things that I'm uncertain about from people that I know, like, and trust. And I think that it creates joy also, you know, around our business and around our journey. It doesn't have to be sad and frustrating and irritating, you know, half the time. We can make light of it. And when you're in a community who understands the struggle and you can go to them, then you can make light of it together, and that's what really brings us together.
Beautiful. Yeah. And, being an entrepreneur or even, a business owner can be so lonely. And there are so many things you have to handle. If you have a storefront, there's even more things. And yeah, sometimes it can seem a little overwhelming. So just having someone who's already been there, done that, or said, oh, yeah, I had to handle that before, and this is what I did. It's
Exactly.
just so relieving because yes, there's Google, but sometimes Google has five ways to do things, and which one's the right one for me? Which one is going to work for me? Where you can talk to, say a girlfriend, but a woman friend, and say, hey, I'm stuck with this, and I see you're doing this well. I mean, just like when I saw your setup for your podcast, I'm like, I love the way you're doing that. It's awesome. And we can learn so much from each other.
Exactly. Yeah. I always say to, one of the things that I talk to my community about a lot is leveraging each other's resources. So, you know, if you know something that I don't know, and I know something that you don't know, when we start to share our knowings or our resources, then we both take a step up, right? So instead of always being in the spot of learning, being in the spot of learning and teaching, so that we're systematically taking steps together, so that we're not rising to the top by ourselves. I want to rise to the top with the community of women that are with me, so that when I look around, I can be like, wow, look at this sea of women around me. You know, the vision that I have for Her Nation is to be on stages that have, you know, tens of thousands of people in the audience. And I don't want to be the only one on the stage. You know, I want to have an entire army of women on the stage that are speaking their truth, speaking their story, speaking their expertise to an audience to be able to help that audience also rise. So, big things, big things.
Awesome. So, if people wanted to connect with you, learn about your community, become a part of the community, how do they find you?
Yeah, for sure. So my website is the easiest way. It's sabrinavictoria.com, sabrinavictoria.com. And on that website is everything, is all my social media, the communities that I run, the podcasts that I do, and really opens you up very easily to our world and what we're doing in Her Nation. And be on the lookout. end of March, beginning of April 2024 for our digital magazine that'll be dropped. We have about 30 contributors right now that are busy, filling up and filling up the website and putting their expertise on paper to be able to really teach others in the areas of health, wealth, and leadership. Those, I believe, are the three areas that so many women struggle in, right? We're struggling in our health, we're struggling in our wealth, and we're struggling in our leadership skills. And those are also the three areas I think a lot of times we like to ignore. Not all of us, not all of us, but some of us. And so that's what we're really leaning into for 2024 and 2025 is really honing in on those three pillars of our lives. And I think if we can really concentrate on just those three things, that it'll make a world of difference for our communities and for our families.
Yes. So now I have a personal question for you. What gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life at this point?
What gives me the building my business? That's it, building my business. I absolutely love the journey that I'm on. I absolutely love I just love seeing it. I love the vision. I love like taking a step closer. I love looking back and being like, what? Look at how far we've come. Do you remember when? When I'm awake, I am building my business. If I'm not physically building my business, then I'm thinking about building my business. I take notes all day, every single day, writing stuff down of just things that come to me, fires that happen. And it's just snowballing. It's snowballing into something so gorgeous. And it's my life's mission. It's my life's mission. I know so often it's like, oh, I like to do yoga or go to the beach. I'm just not set up that way. I love to work. And I don't even consider it work. I love to build. It's just in me. It's in my soul to be creative and to build and to facilitate for humans. And in this case, I've honed in on female entrepreneurs, and that's what we're doing here. And I love every moment of it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today and for sharing your story and your wisdom.
Thank you for having me. This was fabulous.
Yeah, so I have one last question before we complete. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
I have one saying that's been with me since I was 26-ish years old. It's the most simplest thing in the world, and it helps me to this day. And the saying is, everything's going to be okay. So often, there's so many stressors. There's so much stuff sometimes, and just being able to take a breath. Recognize that you have been through so much. You have accomplished so much. What you have done, another person could possibly not have been able to do. So everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be all right. You're going to make it through to the end. And that's what I tell myself almost daily because I feel like there's always something. But I just tell myself everything's going to be okay. I calm down. I don't sit and worry. I do not sit and stress. None of those help us, sitting in those feelings, although real, right? We're not trying to erase. They don't help you, though, to stay in those states of minds. So I always remind myself that everything's going to be okay. Pull myself together. And just keep rolling.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Sabrina.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.